Welcome into 11 Personnel presented by Port Royal Plants. I'm Nick Roush, as always, joined by one Adam Luckett as we get you set for Saturday's significant matchup between Kentucky and the Missouri Tigers. I don't really want to spend more time on Tennessee, Luckett, but there might be a few things we got to clean up.
Yeah, let's just talk about the elephant in the room here.
Okay. Let's do it.
We heard from Mark Stoops on Monday. Basically, get it fixed or get lost. I joked on the football podcast, Mark Stoops is not going to fire himself. Who do we think he's talking to? So, Nick, what has to happen these last four games to get to that where we're covering another offensive coordinator search?
Well, the thing was, too, is Rich Scangarello wasn't – you know, he's not pressing the panic button. He's not overreacting.
Rich Scangarello has taught us not to listen to a word he says in these press conferences.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it was a little concerning, though, when he said that we knew they were going to get downhill in the run game, but we just wanted to run it anyway. It's like, why would that be the game plan? Like, what made you think that was a good idea? So, I don't know. Average 24 points a game. That doesn't feel like you're asking for much, right? Because this Missouri game feels like a race to 20. The Louisville game might be a race to 20 as well. So, like, if you average 24 points a game, there's a dud in there against Georgia. You're probably scoring what? You should get to 35 by Vanderbilt. But I think that's where you're at. And really, in all honesty, you need to get to 8 wins. I mean, yeah. I think that's a necessity because the offensive talent dictates. Like, you're not asking them to do a whole lot, and you've got some good players to play with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you finish 7-5 or 6-6, I think
that's a definite.
I'm not going to say definite, but you're definitely in a gray. I think he's in a gray area right now, personally. Like, we've seen Mark Stoops pull the plug. When things getting bad and when we really didn't think he would. Like, the Dawson one, people were like, well, it's just 1 year. You can't make a coordinator change. He did it. And then with the last one, it was, you know, Eddie Grant has been here for so long. He just, like, turned the offense around in 20, made something out of nothing in 2019. You know, they've been together so long, he's not going to pull the plug on him, and he did. So, to me, he's shown in the past he's not afraid to pull this plug. There's just – this one's different because of, like, the pending QB transfer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they got to get a QB in here next year, and if you pull the plug, you'd almost have to have a guy right away to come in here and find a transfer.
Right. It's like you don't go entering the portal unless you know where you're going to end up. I don't think you can pull the – like, barring disaster –
yeah,
like if it's 6-6 instead of 7-5, like let's say you only beat Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
and your hands are kind of forced. That's the only real scenario I see where you pull the plug on Rich without having a successor lined up and a quarterback ready to bring in as well.
Yeah, and I also think like there's not just going to be 8 QBs in the portal that everybody's fighting over. There's going to be a lot of guys in the portal that can play, so you're going to have options there with quarterback. But yeah, they need to win this. If they don't win and they go down there and score 14 points, Nick, like, it's going to get bad around here.
Well, because, I'll bring up just my worst-case scenario before we get your benchmarks that you want to see over the final four games. I'm not going to write about it because I don't want to put that juju out there. But to say it out loud, you can see I can very easily – and it's not just me being a jaded Kentucky fan. Kentucky kind of is what they are right now. They're a sloppy offensive football team that makes a lot of mistakes. And you could see a scenario where the defense keeps them in this game. The offense doesn't do a ton, but they're in position to win. They make a late turnover. You lose to Missouri. Vanderbilt, you score 24 points and a win to get bowl eligible. And then you get beat by Georgia. And then in the Louisville series, you know, we don't mention this enough, but that thing really works in 4 and 5 year increments, right? Like, it swings wildly back and forth. there's not really a lot of close games. It just goes one way or the other. And once one team wins, it kind of starts going the other direction. I've thought Scott Satterfield's a joke of a coach for the longest time. But their defense is going to blitz the ever-loving snot out of Kentucky, right? They're just going to be bringing dudes all day. And you should have answers. But, like, you can see the scenario where they get the win and then the pendulum is just going back in the wrong direction.
They're playing three defenses that play the same way here at the close of the season. Take out Georgia. Tennessee, Missouri, Louisville are going to play man coverage, and they're coming downhill. And they're just going to try to create negative plays. They don't care. So, like, Kentucky's going to have to – they're going to play the same defense. Like, the defense they just saw at Tennessee, they're going to see again. And if they come out with the same god-awful plan, they're going to get their ass kicked. And so we're just going to have to see what he can kind of scheme up here. Like, Will Levis needs to look like Will Levis again to me, number one. Like, if we get through this year and we look up and he's got 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and just ho-hum numbers, like, you ruined that kid. Like, you ruined that kid's – like what should have been his big season, like because you couldn't create, and your offense couldn't create easy enough stuff for him. Like, yeah, scoring points is going to be big for me here this last couple weeks. I don't want, like, if you're out there scoring 21 points a game, like, that's just not good enough. Kentucky's got to get out of that. They're going to have to start scoring points. Like, it's just the bottom line. Like, Tennessee and Heupel, as long as Josh Heupel's there, you're going to have to score 38 points to beat him. There's really no getting around it.
Yeah,
you got to start scoring points. Like, that's a program. They just have to get out of this winning games that's in the mud. Like,
yeah.
Well, you want to, you know, what's good about, they can win games in the mud, but you can't always depend on it. You're going to have to win where you know, you're going to have to score points in some shootout type games to win. So that's what I want to see. And then, like, the sloppiness, right? That stuff's got to get out of there. If we're still in these big, like, they're going to play two big games, really. And I'm not talking about the Georgia game. I'm talking about this Saturday against Missouri and against Louisville. If we're getting in there where there's key procedure penalties, like, no one's really talking about, like, that false start on 3rd and 6 before the short punt, before the touchdown, before half, it's 26. If they don't have the false start, 3rd and 6 a lot easier to get than 3rd and 11. They were awful on Saturday, but they've typically been a good third down team throughout the year. They probably get that third down, and it changes everything. But that was just kind of another evidence of just – penalties. We talk of Ole Miss. Like, critical procedure penalties are killing them.
Yep.
You know, the Ole Miss one, you get that one, and then you get backed up and you get sacked. So that's the sloppiness in general has got to get fixed. Will Levis needs to look like Will Levis. In the beginning of these games, Nick, like, I've always said it. I judge an offensive play caller a lot about, like, his opening game plan and his script. And you should be able to put something together and have success early in these games. And they absolutely stink starting these games.
They've only had 2 scores on first possessions this year. Last year, they had 7.
Yeah, and those are against G5 teams.
Yeah.
You come out against Florida, 3 and out. You come out against Ole Miss. You get backed up. You get a first down, but then you fall behind the chains. Will Levis takes a big sack on your first real dropback situation of the game. Come out South Carolina, you run a gadget play on your opening script, which I think just set the tone of that game. You were not winning it after that happened. And then, let's see here, Mississippi State, you fumble. You get in 3rd and long, you convert a 3rd and long, and you fumble. And then Tennessee, you come out, you're down 7-0, the crowd's going nuts. Last thing you need is a 3 and out there, and you go 3 and out. Like, you got to be better than that. Like, if they come out here and there's 3 and out city here to start this game and the Louisville game, it's not going to be good, I think, for a team confidence-wise. They have to have success early to get some positivity, get some momentum on that sideline. So, I mentioned it after the game, kind of a 4-game tryout here. And I think Stoops kind of proved my point on Monday with that comment he made. So, we're going to have to see what he has here these last 4 games.
Yeah, and I think what's important too, you know, you talk about giving that sideline some confidence. The player's got to be wondering too now, right? Like, am I being put in a position to succeed? But the stuff that Ryan Lemon was saying about Tennessee players knowing where the play was going, all that stuff, like, that happens in every game. That, like,
players, it feels like I feel like I'm in 2020. They know, like, what They know. Go ahead.
But like, you know, it's one thing if the other team has scouted you and kind of knows where the ball is going. Like, Kedron Smith's pick six against Florida. He said after the game, we just watched film. We knew where it was going. Like, teams are good enough at doing right. that. But what's worrisome, though, is that the players are so ticked off about it that they're that's like they're sharing their grievances, right? Like, they're airing out their grievances about their coach right now. That's the part that worries me mm-hmm. because you got a lot of that in the Shannon Dawson era. A lot of the, like, you got a lot of that in the DJ Elliott era, too, where the guys didn't necessarily respect or trust that the coach would put him in a position to succeed. Rich has got to get them feeling confident back on the football field again so they can make some plays.
Yeah, I just feel like it's like 2020 again. They can't beat press man coverage.
Which you should be able to with these receivers.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of that's on, like, to me, it's just scheme. Like, you got to scheme these guys open. Like, you have the quarterback that can make these throws. Like, it shouldn't be, like, blanketed. Like, I just...
Pick pass, yeah. Just
yeah. And then everything takes forever. Like, you know, it just... Or everything's just hard. It shouldn't be this hard. That's really the frustrating part, that it feels like it's... Like, we're going to see the game plans we saw in 2020 where they're just going to press man coverage. They're going to stuff... They're going to crank the box up. Play downhill, stop Rodriguez, and then they don't think you can beat them on the outside. And that's like, if you can't beat that on an offense, something's got to change. You got to be able to beat that.
Yeah, yeah. It's been hard watching this offense at times. That's why I'm relying on Port Royal Plants and this high-quality pain relief balm. Visit them at portroyalplants.com. All organic, CBD, Kentucky Proud products. If you're out and about too. Like, I'm about to be raking leaves later, and I know a lot of the bugs are dead, but you still, my wife, she could go into a freezer and get bit by four mosquitoes. Try out their organic CBD-based flea, tick, mosquito. No, not flea and tick. Flea and ticks for dogs. We don't need flea stuff. We need mosquito repellent. They've got that at Port Royal Plants, based in Henry County. Give them a try today at Port Royal Plants. .com. Like, it Tuesday was my first time going to Lexington in a long time, and I threw some on the back before getting in the car, and man, it's like, it's not like getting a back massage, but it is. It really just, like, okay, this drive's going back much, much easier. My way home wasn't as pleasant, though, because I got the text from my wife. There's poop everywhere. So that's what you don't want to get. That's the message you don't want to receive. But the house didn't burn down. We're getting back. We're rocking. We're rolling. Would be a lot easier on my life, though. We got back-to-back nooners, 11 a.m. local kickoff time. Make things a lot easier if Kentucky did come out and score some points against Missouri, who it's weird. Like I don't want to be too nice to Missouri because they suck in close games. Like, that Auburn loss is one of the worst football losses I've ever seen in my lifetime. Like, people who say, like, teams just don't lose the way Kentucky lose. We're the most snake bit fan base. Blah, blah, blah. No, dude, watch Missouri. Like, they have so many of these losses, especially this year. That Auburn game, they have an all former all SEC kicker miss a chip shot to win. Then they fumble it into the end zone in overtime. Could have been an easy touchdown, and dude just gets stripped at the 1 foot line. And then the week later, they actually got up off the mat, had Georgia on the ropes. They're on fourth and inches at their third and second, whatever. They're goal to go, and they get a false start at the 1-inch line. Backs them up. They kick a field goal. Georgia gets friendly whistles the rest of the way and ends up winning that football game. They didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. So it's kind of funny, though. Like both teams are kind of similar. Like, it's kind of Spider-Man meme, like, especially with Luther Burden, their talented receiver, and you got Berrion Brown, Dane Key, like, hey, get these guys the ball. Like, there's a lot of similar themes with both of these teams, but the Missouri offense has been much worse on a consistent basis than Kentucky's.
Yeah, both these defenses are kind of have a legit top 15 case defense-wise. I mean, they're both been pretty good. Both defensive coordinators are doing an outstanding job, and then offensively, it's holding both teams back. Missouri, Brady Cook's a new starter at quarterback. He's had a lot of struggles this year. They're young at wide receiver. They don't really have that offensive line issues. They're playing two transfers at running back. both are just kind of blah, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about this game, Nick, like, Kentucky's offense is better than Missouri's. Like, Missouri's, I think you can make the case, it's the worst offense in the SEC. I mean, it's pretty – they're not, like, downright terrible, as we've seen some, like, Vanderbilt offenses in the past or some Kentucky offenses back in the day when Kentucky was bottom of the league. But they are not very good on offense.
They're like, just hoping to pop a few plays here and there.
Dominic Lovett is the one to watch, number 7, sophomore receiver. He's really their whole offense. When they're, I believe they scored like 13 of their points against South Carolina, they all came from Lovett just popping a 40-yard, 50-yard reception and getting them in the scoring territory. He's the guy you got to stop. You cannot let him get deep. When they tied the game for Auburn, or when they set up the game when he scored, they threw a go ball to Lovett and he made a great catch on the sideline. So he's the guy you cannot let get loose. But Kentucky is better on offense. Like, they have a better running back. They have a better running game. They have a better quarterback. They have a better passing game. Like, they should, you know, if the defenses play at an even amount, Kentucky should have the advantage in this game because they have the better offense. But we know the Kentucky's issues. Turnovers have been bad. Can't finish drives in the red zone. Can't finish create scoring opportunities, but can't finish them. That's why I think the start of this game is so important, because if you go back 2 years ago in this game at Missouri, like, we saw a game like we're going to think we're going to see on Saturday, right? Just the ultimate slugfest.
Yep.
But Missouri controlled the tempo and tenor of that game because they got off the field on third downs on defense and they just churned out drives. I believe they were like 15 to 25 on third and fourth down on offense. They really didn't have a great day on offense, but they just were able to keep the chains moving and just won the ultimate in the mud slugfest. I think you're going to that potentially play out. And so I think whoever gets the lead early in this game, like whoever scores the first touchdown, is going to have a pretty big advantage here. And so, like, the start's huge. Like, if Kentucky comes out here, and has to fill themselves out in the first four possessions of a game again before they figure out what they want to do on offense, I think they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and to your point, the one thing that I will, like, you all know how fired up Eli Drinkwitz gets me. I mean, he's just he off the field, that dude just really knows how to push all the right buttons to fire me up. But on the field, I do respect him as a play caller. And, like, if I'm going to give them one advantage offensively, this dude knows how to bring teams down to his level. Like, they don't have the overwhelming talent, but – in that game, look at, I think they were combined 14 of 25 on 14 third and 25, fourth down.
Yeah.
And it was because they were in like third and threes.
Yep.
And they would give it to Roundtree. Yeah. Like, it was all very manageable situations. Drink is a good play caller at when it comes to knowing the time to hit your shots and also keeping things manageable for below average quarterbacks. So, that part worries me a little bit. Also, I don't know how this is the case because their kicker is wildly inconsistent. I saw him miss. Was it South Carolina? He had a bad miss, or I don't know.
Yes, he missed a chip shot against South Carolina.
Yeah. He's kind of all over the place. But I think SP Plus has them at third in special teams efficiency.
Yeah, but he's like 7-9 on 40. Plus yard attempts. I think he's got 5 makes for 50 plus yards.
Yeah, he can hit bombs, but he just
misses. I mean, he's an NFL kicker. I mean, like, as soon as they get cross midfield, they're about in his range. So that's another concern in this game, Nick.
Yeah.
I believe Matt and them reported that maybe there might be a special teams kicking change for Kentucky today on the show. I believe I saw that somewhere.
Kind of hinted at that.
Yeah. So, you know, they, like, Missouri's going to have the kicking game advantage. But they have given up some punt returns, so that could maybe be an area Kentucky could get them, and so they could pop a punt return. But, yeah, I mean, how do you feel confident in Kentucky's kicking game, right?
No, I mean,
and in a slugfest-type game, you know, field position. Like, Missouri stunk at field position, too. You're very much right on the Spider-Man meme. Like, these teams got a lot in common.
We bring up the Twitter account is at StatsOwar. It's he runs something called CFB Graphs. And it's just an easy to consume advanced stats graphic for every game, and it is so funny. Look at how Like, he uses blue and red, like, good, bad. And, like, yeah. Oh, my God, it is like a mirror image of one another. It is so, so funny. They're each projected 20.9 points, right? Like, it's about as 50-50 toss-up as it comes. And they're terrible at field position. The net field position, Kentucky ranks 97
yeah.
in the country. That's to just me, that's so bad. Like, they're not even getting first downs to help the defense and even flip the field, right? Like, there's none of that, like – like, you're not even getting those drives where you're like, well, they didn't score, but at least they gave the defense a chance there. Because mm-hmm. that's what happened in 2018, right? Like, you went down there. Your offense stunk it up. You had Danny Clark at quarterback yeah. fumbling the football. But at least, like, the offense would make sure that the defense was getting Drew Lock back in around the 20-yard line, right, before they were locking him up. We're bringing up these games, and look, it is as much as on our side, and since Mark Stoops has ascended since what, like 2016, Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Kentucky's controlled those three series. Up until this year, they only had two total losses between those three teams combined in like 21 games. So you lose to South Carolina this year. Those games against Missouri have been closer than we'd like to think. But UK has found a way to win close games. They got to keep doing it here, or else the pecking order that you're at, right? Like, Stoops showed them the SEC leaderboard was like, hey, we're still in the mix of it. Well, you got to win this one, or you're not going to be in the mix much longer.
Yeah, you have to go back to 2015 since they lost to two of those three, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Missouri. Yeah. That one was you beat South Carolina early. You lose to a good Missouri team. You have to go back to 2014 because they beat Missouri and South Carolina in 2015. 2014.
Well, they lost to Vandy in 15, though?
No, you have to go – oh, I'm even dating my – 2013. You have to go back to the first – I keep dating myself. But the first Mark Stoops year. Because 2014, they beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
That was the big win. And then they beat Vandy at home. And then 2015, they beat Missouri and South Carolina and then lost to Vandy on the road. So you have to go back to 2013, Nick, since they've lost the two or three here.
That would be bad. That would be really bad.
I mean, there's just a lot riding on
it. And that's why there's so much fear factor in this, because like it is so it is such a must win. I cannot stress it enough.
It is for this thing, they need to get things back on track this season, like. But no matter what happens here, this year is going to be a disappointment because they didn't take advantage of opportunities on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they let the offense slip from a top 25 unit to this girls' football we're watching every Saturday.
It really just happened in the month of October, right? Like,
well, yeah. Yes, but I think you wrote it today and you made a good point. It was always like benefit of the doubt. Oh, they're missing this. They're missing that. This, that. And then we get 6-7 games, and people just get tired of making excuses for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got enough personnel there. You should be able to not asking them to go score 40 points, but you should be able to go put some points on the board. It shouldn't be this difficult in the year of our Lord 2022 to score more than 30 points in a college football game. But it is. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you want to try to win game set. Like, thing that irked me about that Tennessee game, Nick, it's almost like they went in there and thought they were going to go in 24-21.
Yeah.
Like, that is not the way to go play that game. Early in the game, you should be taking – if Tennessee's going to hit you with a haymaker, you should be trying to hit them with a haymaker. Like, that's the time to throw a bomb when they're downhill, playing downhill. Like, when they went to Louisville and played Lamar Jackson and won that game, they did not go into that game thinking they were going to win 24-21. They thought, if we're going to win, we're going to outscore these guys today, and we're going to take our swings here. And I just didn't feel like they did that down in Tennessee, and that was frustrating.
That's a great point.
Because you do have to do what you do. The best thing they do is give the ball in 24's belly and let him run. But you got to help him out. He can't do it by himself. If you've got a team that's going to play that damn aggressive, you need to take advantage of that aggressiveness early and say, if you're coming down here, I'm going to throw it over the top of your head. And Kentucky just didn't do that. They played right into Tennessee's hands. And that was really upsetting about that game to me. And so Missouri's kind of the same thing. If Missouri comes out here and is rolling nine in the box, you need to throw it over their head. You need to figure out something, move the pocket, do something where you can, where Levis can show off his arm and you can take advantage of some of the speed you have on the outside in one-on-one matchups and take your shot. But yeah, that was frustrating part. And I think them as a whole, they just got to get out of that 17-13 mindset sometimes. Not all the time, but you can't, you know, there's time to be conservative and there's time to be aggressive. Felt like early in that Tennessee game was a time to be aggressive and they just weren't. And that was upsetting.
To be fair, and in the midst of all of our worries, Mark Stoops' teams are pretty good in bounce back spots, especially late in the season. 2018, I don't have them all pulled up, but I did do some quick research. Tennessee and Georgia are the only teams. I threw out 2020, but they Tennessee in 2019 at the goal line. That was kicked off November. That was their only loss in the final five games of the season. Same thing happened. They were able to get off the mat and win at Vanderbilt. They had won, beaten Missouri at home before that. Same thing last year. You win three straight to close out the season. 2018, I believe, even after that Georgia loss, like they cleaned – No.
Lost to Tennessee.
Tennessee, and then you won out, right?
And beat a good Middle Tennessee team and then smoke Louisville and then go and win the bowl game, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good Middle Tennessee team. They've been pretty good about in these bounce back spots.
Offense is just, it's just, you know, we might look back at it and Tennessee just might be, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Second or third best team in the country. You played them at their house. Yeah, they had everything cooking.
But the game just went
sideways on you early and you just, once that happened, you were toast.
For me, it's just there were some common themes that just raised their head. And
it's the same issues, right?
Yeah, it's the start and it's the red zone and just overall sloppiness. A lot of sloppiness. And that's, you know, like I know some execution errors are up to the players, right? Like you can't get mad at the coach for Tavion Robinson dropping a pass.
Right.
But like if there's no accountability for a kid jumping off sides all the time, then like what are we, you know, like what are we –
Yeah, I mean, I feel them on the O-line stuff.
You got to come down to the coach eventually.
Feel them on the O-line stuff because there is, you know, typically the rule is false start, you come out of the game kind of thing. But there's just no one, you know, they just don't have depth. But yeah, I mean, like, my thing with that is you can get mad at the players or whatever, but eventually to me that's just on the coaching. Like, why do they keep jumping? Why is it taking so long for these play calls to get in?
Yeah.
Why are you calling in the wrong – why is the wrong play getting called in? Your quarterback gets crushed against Mississippi State, hurts his shoulder.
Yeah.
Why is he hearing – why is that wristband call getting messed up? We all just kind of laugh that off, but, like, that's kind of – seems like that's been an issue all season, getting play calls in. And you almost got knocked him out for the year because you called – however got the wrong call in.
Right, right.
You know, when I say sloppy football team, it's not just the players jumping off sides. I think it's the whole operation that's sloppy. I think there's signs that prove that. And so why is that? You know, does somebody need to go in the box, Nick? All these coaches are on the sideline. Do we need more? Somebody need to just go up there and, like, thinking peace and quiet? I mean, I don't know, something, because it's been sloppy, and that's what I'll get back to. If we still see some of these sloppiness over these last four games, because it's not like, okay, the search came down to Rich Gangarello and, like, Rob Calabrese, the Jets quarterback coach.
Yeah.
The Jets quarterback coach didn't have any experience. And that was probably the number one reason Scangarello got this job.
Yep. But it's not looking like the experience.
Right. You should be like, this is just what the first-time play caller should be going through. Not what this guy who's called plays. He's been called plays at four different or organizations in his career. Called plays in the NFL. This is not what it should look like to me. That just got to get fixed. There's really no excuse for it.
You brought up we were talking about false starts and not being able to take guys out. And I thought of a name I hadn't thought of in a long time. Jordan Swindle.
Yeah.
What's Jordan Swindle up to nowadays?
He played in the Canadian Football League for a long time.
Good for him, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Really, really. Look, speaking of some of these guys who are surprising, you notice how much Marquand McCall's playing for the Panthers? He's getting a ton of reps, man.
That was a good team for him to get on because they got into the fire sale type situation, but it's giving him a good chance to
put some shape out there.
Right. It's a good opportunity for him.
That game on Sunday, I think I brought it up on the football podcast. Still blows my mind how crazy that game got. And Za'Darius Smith is just freaking
stud.
I just forget about the Vikings. I don't know what it is about them that I just don't like pay attention to them, but they just it just feels like in the pecking order of caring.
It's just because they got Kirk Cousins, so you just like, oh, they stink. Kirk Cousins is a quarterback.
it really is like such a Kirk Cousins bias. But like I even have Justin Jefferson on a fantasy team, and I keep up from afar, and I still
they're good
about the Vikings. But yeah,
they're good.
They're good. The Packers stink. What's up with your team, man?
I don't know, man.
What is it? Is it really just
Browns are? I knew that. I had a kind of feeling they were going to lose that game because Browns are just a terrible matchup because they can't block Myles Garrett and they can't stop the run. Specifically, that they got their DJ Reader, their best run stuffer, was out. So I had a feeling that was coming.
I didn't know if it was a case where it's like really just Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase or just the entire the city of Cincinnati.
Like, well, Ja'Marr Chase is pretty good. But still, I mean, they just can't figure out the Browns. Like Baker Mayfield would throw it all over them when he was there. And they wouldn't, like Jacoby Brissett had the game of his career. That did not surprise me. They kind of have their number. I'm ready for Stefanski to get out of there because they just cannot figure them out.
It's such a weird thing to say out loud.
It's the one opponent. They just cannot. They always don't play well against. It feels like they just don't match up well with them at all. They just have all kinds of. I mean, the Bengals just got injuries are really starting to pile up on them. Not to make an excuse, but that's hurting them. It's looking like twin games are really going to have to get in shootouts, and that just can they protect Burrow long enough? And they got to get Chase back. Got the Panthers this week, so I think they'll be able to bounce back, but that's just kind of the team they're going to be this year.
We are entering that wonderful time of year where football is on 7 days a week, and it's glorious. The Mac is back. Did you catch any of the action on Tuesday night?
I did. I was wanting to watch that Buffalo-Ohio game for a little bit because that was kind of first place on that side of the division. Those are two of the best teams.
Got a little hairy, though, out of hand. Ball State, Kent State, it was foggy, and you had some – of course, quarterbacks, you idiots, quit sliding. Like, the dude was near the first down, it's fourth down, and instead of doing the dive, he starts his slide. Because, like, he easily had the first down, but he slid to it, so they're going to back you up like a yard from where the slide starts. And so he didn't get – Kent State doesn't get the first down. That team, they've played – every good football team in America this year for pay games could have used a win.
Here's the funny thing about the MAC, all right? The last three champs, Northern Illinois, Ball State, and Miami, Ohio, all those coaches are still there. They all have losing records. And not close losing records. I'm talking like 10, 15 games under 500. That league, you can just go from 3-9 to 9-3, like snap of the finger. Like Buffalo stunk last year. Now they might win they had a chance to win the league. Ohio stunk last year, new coach first year. Now they might come back and win the MAC. And Frank Zolich was awesome there for 15 years, and he never won the MAC. So that league is just like it's very much a lottery. You never know who could win it. It's usually someone out of left field a little bit. So and then playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays obviously makes it a little more feels like the results could go. Either way on any of those games.
I like when, post put the kids down to bed and it's like, all right, let's check the scores here. And if it's close, then you're like, all right, let's get weird. There was one play where a dude threw a ball. It went back to him and then he threw it again. So he tried to throw two passes in one play. You cannot throw two forward passes in one play. It's like the most Mac play that's ever happened. Ugh. Freaking action.
Shout out Ball State. They're recruiting Kentucky pretty hard. Tristan Cook, kid from Wofford County, is going there. Kid's going there. And then Joe Humphrey, so should be – actually, I don't know. He's probably Miami, Ohio third quarterback. I know he set a bunch of records at Davies County, so he'll be starting for them, I would think, eventually down the road.
Yeah. Muncie, not too far of a drive. Love some good Mac. Maybe one year we get some action, and I actually have a one of my wife's good friend is marrying somebody who's a big Mac football guy, and he's done a couple random Tuesday nights. The best part about Maction for us would be, you know, you can go in and out of the stadium. It's old school Kentucky football where you're grabbing a couple beers at halftime. Love a little Tuesday night Maction. I guess we should get back to our discussion on this Missouri-Kentucky game. Do you ultimately have a lean one way or the other?
No. Yeah. I think I've had different points this week. I've had both sides winning. But regardless, it's kind of a close game.
I got the under. Playing out. I bet the under today. This has Rash under written all over it. Yeah. I'm such a loser. I love unders. Iowa did it to me. I blame it all on the Ferentz family. But now, like, I just don't bet overs. It's only unders. It's just like, ooh, these teams stink. Let's bet it.
These two teams are combined 14-2 on under plays this year.
Yeah.
The two losses were to group of five teams. Bad group of five teams at that. It'll be the lowest total for each team right here at 41.5. But yeah, how do you go to the window and say, give me over in Kentucky, Missouri? Two good defenses, offenses that have just stunk, and they both play at a slow pace. Like, how do you just go and be like, yeah, this is what this thing's going over?
Well, one thing that would be nice too that we haven't seen a lot of from Kentucky, we saw it early on in the season. Creating turnovers. That defense has been bend not break, but they've only created 8 all season. They're ranked 10th or 11th.
Yeah,
they're
you look up and turnovers is again an issue for the second year in a row.
Yeah,
The defense is not for the defense. I think they're 118th in turnover margin, but the defense is 108th in takeaways. Like, the offense needs to be better, but they need more from their defense in that aspect. It's hard to ask that defense to do any more, but you do need some more takeaways.
Well, because like you got to have some sort of havoc stat, and they're not getting sacks. So there's just not a whole lot of havoc stats right now for this Kentucky defense, which we had an interesting question on our text line today on Kentucky Roll Call. And it was, you know, who's on your Mark Stoops short list? If, you know, things get sideways, he decides to bolt, get the big pile of nil money at Auburn or Nebraska or somewhere. And, My wild card, I've got a fun wild card. Let's bring Zach Arnett up here and run that 3-3-5 and just piss off other teams.
Yeah. I wouldn't. He's kind of – that's kind of the mold I would look for, though, if I'm, like, Kentucky. Like, I do like the defensive coordinator angle. I would prefer, like, Arnett be more, like, kind of a big school. He hadn't been in the Power 5 very long. That would be my big concern. Like, he's only been a couple years at Mississippi State. Like, the rest of the Power 5 is a lot different than Mississippi State.
Obviously. Yeah, that's true. You know, the guy, the Oklahoma, or not Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's DC.
He was Alex Grinch. 2 years ago, he was.
I want to call him Stink.
2 years ago, he was definitely on my list. But the defenses have just not, they just haven't kicked that extra gear. They force turnovers, take a lot of chances, but I don't know if I would be too excited about him right now. But yeah, he's definitely a guy maybe you would interview, talk to. He's from Ohio. And so
that's intriguing. Who else? Obviously Brad White's on there. Who else is on Adam Luckett's?
How do you not have John Summerall on there?
It's true. Yeah.
He's doing right now.
Dude, yeah, they're kicking ass in the Fun Belt, man.
And Nick, like, if Summerall could possibly keep White here.
Right?
Like, those dudes are pretty tight.
It would be kind of weird to go from working for him to he's working for you, right?
Yeah, but you probably know more about this, but those two seem like they're pretty tight.
Yeah. Right now, Troy is 6-2, bowl eligible, 4-1, leading their division in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I just –
they would be unbeaten if not for that Hail Mary against App State.
And you want to talk about getting NIL in order and going out and getting ball players?
It's true.
That guy will fix all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they will get players here if he's running the show. You want to talk about a head coach that's going to go out and get after it recruiting-wise and do what it's got to take to get players. Like, Summerall will put him in that bucket. For him, like, you know, and he's not as young as you. Like, he's 41 years old. It's not like he's a young pup.
God, he so weird because he, you know, played on the teams that when we were kids growing up watching, and now it's like, oh, he's not a young pup anymore. And it's like, wait, I was watching him play. Like, damn it, I'm old.
Yeah. So he's definitely, he's on the short list. Like, he needs to get an interview, and like, he would have familiarity with another thing with Summerall. He played for the coach and he worked for the coach. The two coaches that I think prove the model of how you win here at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
with Rich Brooks and Mark Stoops. And I think he was a GA for Brooks too. So
yeah,
I think that's another pro in his pros and cons list, you know, offense style and all that. You know, that's the one thing I would have questions about him with. It's a risk because he's still a little green as a head coach, but I think there's a lot of things to like about him. And then, you know, he's winning big at Troy right away. I think that's a good sign, and that's a good tough league. Like, there's good coaches in that league. And so that's impressive to me. So yeah, he would definitely be on there. Brian Hart lineup at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Most of the reasons I just talked about, you want a coach, head coach is going to come and get players here and probably get NIL figured out.
Is everybody wants to talk about Coach Prime, but the real fun wrinkle in the coaching carousel is, where's Brian Harlan going
next? Yeah. So he's definitely on there.
And then, he's like their fickle, basically, from 8 years ago.
And then Brad White, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Those three right there are towards the top. And then after that, you're getting into, like, I would say secondary candidates, at least on my list, after those three. Some people have thrown out Neil Brown and all that. Maybe he would be offensive coordinator. It's the thing with Neil, like, he's going to get fired probably from West Virginia here soon, if not this year, next year. His play calling didn't go great at Troy or West Virginia. Like, you can pull up the numbers if you want to, but it just was not very good. He brought in Graham Harrell this year to call plays, and he probably did it about 2 years too late.
Yep.
And so that's the one thing with Neil, I would say.
It would also be a really weird, like, I don't want to say it was square peg when they first initially got him, but it felt kind of foisted on Mark Stoops. Like, he had to go get Neil.
Yeah, but Stoops wanted to run the air raid, and he was one of the best candidates at the time if you were going to do that. So it was maybe like a arranged marriage type thing, but it made sense.
We do have a weird relationship with Neil Brown, though.
Some people have mentioned, like, or have been mentioned to me, I think Derek Carey mentioned the, like, Neil Brown coming to be Summerall's OC here, potentially.
Well, they worked together to make that Foreman offensive line room, which, that's, you know.
That's there. I don't know if I would want that, but if, like, I don't know what Neil Brown wants to do, but I think he would be awesome in kind of like a chief of staff role or just kind of a big picture role on a college staff.
It's true, yeah.
But, you would have to think he wants to get back in the fight and run a show himself. So I don't know at this stage in his career if that's something he would be looking for. But Summerall, the closer we get, like, it adds up. But with that said, I don't think Stoops is going anywhere unless it's like Nebraska and Iowa are the two I'm watching right now. If he's going to leave, it's going to be one of those two. And so pay attention to that Nebraska search, and then pay attention to what's going on with Ferentz. I think I was listening to Bruce Feldman's podcast the other day, and he mentioned, like, I think he was him, that Brian Ferentz he's looked around for NFL jobs.
Yeah, that's been the
and then, like, that's the thought, that he's going to go to get an NFL assistant coach job, and then Kirk's going to go hire a new offensive coordinator. So it doesn't sound like he's leaving anytime soon if he's going to do that. So that to me, if that happens, you got to think at least 2 to 3 more years with Ferentz there at Iowa. And so that's a win for Kentucky if that happens.
It's just so funny. Their uniforms look like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they really do operate like them, right?
Maybe they'll go hire Matt Canada, just circle.
We're not firing coaches.
Yeah, God, maybe they'll hire Matt Canada, and Tomlin will hire Brian Ferentz.
How the hell is Matt Canada still employed? My God, that dude stinks. He's so bad. But anyway, I've had a lot of fun today, you know, even though I feel like we were a little bit more, I don't know if complaining is the right word, but I feel like this is good. Exercise.
Yeah, I've turned up the heat a little bit this week, obviously. But Nick, we talked in, like, personal conversations. Like, I've been a little irked with this offense for a few weeks now, and I don't think I'm the only one. I think the fan base in general, and you've given them time, and it's just time's up. Like, needed
November.
Yeah,
it's November.
It needs to be better. You offense kind of costed the team a win against Ole Miss. South Carolina was a tough situation, but you still, to me, you got to be able to score more than you did, and you put your team in a huge hole because you give them 7 points to start the game. It just needs to be better. And so you go down to Tennessee, you only score 6 points. That's embarrassing. I mean, bluntly, Stoops made a change to avoid moments like that on offense, to avoid the moments where big stage where his offense just couldn't do anything. And that's what happened against Tennessee. The offense could not do anything, and it's just not acceptable. So it's got to get fixed. And if it doesn't get fixed, if we see the same old, these last four games, I think some tough decisions are rightfully going to have to be made, because this is just what we've seen. It just should not be happening. It's not what Kentucky signed up for when they made this hire.
The thing is, too, is in July, we thought this Kentucky team was going to have to score points to win. We thought this was going to have to be a 35, 38-point team because the defense wasn't going to cut it. No, defense has been good. They haven't asked you to do a ton. You've got to be just a slightly average.
Yeah, we're not asking for a lot here, don't think.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think so either.
It shouldn't be that hard to go score 28 points, but it is. This offense has had all kinds of issues. Want to talk about points per drive? Well, your points per drive stats stink this year. I mean, like, the end of the day, you got to go score, and you got to figure out, like, easy ways for your team to operate. It seems like everything's very hard. It's been very hard for them all year. And so I think this game is important. I think the start on Saturday is critical, and it's a game that feels like which team makes the first big, huge mistake in the second half is probably going to lose.
Yeah, score early, don't make the big mistake, and you can get yourself a must-win for the Cats at Como.
You score early, then you can kind of – that's when you can really have Chris Rodriguez and hammer the rock and kind of play ball control, kind of play how you want to play. But if you don't, you get in a hole, then the defense is going to be looking at you. Are you going to get us out of this hole? You know, are you just going to mess around? And then that's when you get in obvious passing situations, and we know what happens in obvious passing situations with this team. So, yeah, big game for this group. We'll see if they can bounce back and see if they can have some success against a pretty good defense there in Missouri.
Final road game of the season, 11 a.m. local kickoff. Like it, enjoy Harpo's Friday night. It's the where all the big J's, I'm sure, go before they become big J's.
Do they have a visitor section press box at Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're at one end and the home team's at the other.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nothing too crazy like that.
Do you want me to steal you a rock and bring it back?
Oh, would love a rock. I'd absolutely love a rock. I got my car. Like, you might want to pin where you park, too. In 18, I went to the wrong, like, two wrong parking garages before I finally found my car, so that was rough. But that Harpo's, that's a good place. It's like their two keys. They got a lot of good eats there in Columbia too. So
yeah,
I think you'll have a nice Friday night. Or is it just Friday night and coming back, or are you two
whole weekend? Day? Friday, Sunday.
Oh, beautiful then. Beautiful.
That's a longer drive than I thought it was going to be.
It's like an hour longer than you think. It's kind of a pain in the ass. You're doing it right. Just a lot of cold Bud Lights at Harpo's after the game. So enjoy it with Peak. And we'll be back next week for a lot more content everywhere you get your content. And enjoy your CBD, full spectrum CBD from PortRoyalPlants.com. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Let's win some money on the Breeders' Cup this weekend, too. I'll have some picks for you on the KSR YouTube channel. Subscribe, stay tuned. This has been 11 Personnel.